You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd, and this is Tom Talks.
Hello and welcome to Talk Talks. Today is our Rock of Ages episode, and with me is a very special guest. She's been playing piano since she was four. She loves to bake, especially decorating, and she is working on a collection of band t-shirts. Please welcome to the show, Julia Adams. Julia, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm vibing. It's rainy, but you know, I'm indoors, so it's all fine.
I know. I wish I took a nap today.
It is such nap weather. My girlfriend and I are watching a sad TV show, and I wanted to not watch today because I'm like, it's raining out. It's so sad. But, you know, it's still, I'm like, I'm going through it anyway, so it's okay.
It's extra sad. What's the show?
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
I've never heard of that.
It's about a girl who, I don't really know what happens to her, but basically she can read people's minds, but only in the form of song. So it's a musical, and it's very sad because, like, her dad becomes paralyzed and can't speak to anyone, but she can hear his thoughts in the form of song.
So in the form of song.
Yeah. And it's really weird. It's good. It's a great, you know, it's very well written, very heartfelt, but it is so weird.
Because, like, not only does she have to hear everybody's thoughts, it's got to be, like... In a song.
Right. And they dance too. So it's wonderfully choreographed. It's got Skylar Astin in it. So good singers, but you know, it's like if Glee was better thought out. That's how I would describe it. Because Glee, not a great concept on the whole with Glee.
My friend's obsessed. I never watched it, but she will talk about it for days. I'm like, it doesn't look like
never. Yeah, it's definitely, I think I've watched about 10 episodes of Glee back when it was first popular, and then I gave up because I did not want to deal with it. Because
understandable to me.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing to bake?
My favorite thing to bake is cupcakes, or I just got mini bump pans. I'm so excited to like make something in those. Basically, the smaller the sweet, the more excited I am to bake it because I love decorating. So the more time I get to spend on it, sign me up.
Just a ton of little tiny decorations.
Yeah, like sprinkles. I don't just pour the bottle over the frosting. I like put one on the front so it's like perfectly placed.
Got to be meticulous with cupcakes in particular. What sort of bundt cake flavors are you looking to make with your mini bundt pans?
I just made a lemon like cake one in a normal bundt pan, so I want to make it in the mini ones.
Ooh, that is super exciting. Have you ever like entered contests or like tried to get on Nailed It with your baking decorating?
No, but in my friend group, they were trying to have me and another friend go against each other to have a baking contest. We've talked about it for years. It's never happened. Right now, actually, because of quarantine, and the thing I've been making my friends is their own cake for their birthday. They love it. So every time a birthday comes up, I gotta like prepare the especially because it's their 21st birthday. That's like my friend group. Everyone's turning 21. It's adds to the, you know, we can't really go out, but here's a cake. Especially yeah.
That is always really fun. Well, we'll talk a little piano too. What are you playing, like classical piano, or is it more pop style piano or rock piano? I know you're a big classic rock fan, but
I play like mostly classical on the piano. I cannot tell you how badly I wish I could play rock. It doesn't sound right. You know, like maybe some like rock ballads, like November Rain, the beginning sounds great. You want to do Slash's guitar solo, it doesn't sound the same.
No.
You can't.
That's tricky. What's your favorite like classical composer to play?
I stick to, I'm going to say modern classical because I do play like, you know, Beethoven and Bach pieces, but and Mozart, of course. But like there's this one composer's name. I wouldn't even know if you would call it classical, but I'm just going to throw it in the modern classical genre here. His name is Ludovico Einaudi. He's Italian too. Every time a song comes out, I print it, I play it.
That's exciting. So what, I don't know if I've heard of that name. Let me look. Does he do like soundtrack scores, or is it mostly like original classical pieces?
He makes his own pieces, but I feel like you might have heard some because he recently used his song. It's called Nuvole Bianche, which is like, it was in an ad. I forgot what ad it was, but you probably might have heard that one. It's been around a while, and I feel like I hear it every once in a while pop up.
I might have. I'm looking at his like list of what he's done. He did the soundtrack for Nomadland. That movie, yeah, it's that movie's nominated for Best Picture this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, excellent score. I really enjoyed the soundtrack to that. I had no idea. Wow. Yeah, so if you're ever playing songs from Nomadland, that movie was actually filmed in my mom's, or one scene of it was filmed in my mom's hometown. Because the purpose of the movie is it's filmed all over like middle America, basically. And they have one scene where she's like walking outside of a movie theater, and it's my mom's theater from growing up.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Now I have to watch it. I have like two reasons.
It's good. It's on Hulu. It is, you know, it's a long one. It's long, it's quiet, but it's like the score is really good and the cinematography is good. So it's basically one long music video for a pianist that you really like. Have you played like concerts or recitals, or is it mostly like at home, like, you know, playing for yourself sort of thing?
My last recital was, I was either 16 or 18. But before that, I had like a piano teacher up until I was 14. First of all, I hated piano lessons. I didn't even like the piano when I first started it, because it's like, it's your parents' idea, you know? And when you're right. A kid, you don't want to do what your parents tell you to do. And like my dad would make me practice every day, like forced practice. And I didn't want to practice, but love it now. I would play just recitals with my piano teacher. And then I stopped at 14. And then my aunt, my like mom's best friend, I call her an aunt, but she's a piano teacher and she holds recitals. So she's asked me to like hop in on a few. So that's like the last one I did. Makes me super nervous. I don't know. Never play in a stage.
I'm sure you're solid enough to play on a stage. Is your love of music kind of driven by your family then?
In terms of like, I'll say like in the classic rock genre, that's where it started from. So I'll say yes, but they're not like, they don't play instruments. My dad has a guitar. He's played it a couple times. He knows a few things, but they're not really musicians.
Were you much of a concert goer before COVID and the pandemic and all that?
I started building up my experience right before COVID hit. Because my friends, they're not going to go to like rock concerts, but my cousin and her fiance love classic rock and like metal. So we became like the rock concert group, and we were, you know, we started buying tickets for a lot of things. So before that, my concerts were like Carly Rae Jepsen, the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
And then like, still great.
Yeah. No great. Problem. They put on great shows. They do.
Yeah. It was a blast. And then 2 years ago, my first rock concert, one of my favorite people ever and first autobiography I read was Ozzy Osbourne's concert. It was great. Can't believe he could move to begin with.
That's a valid concern. He is quite old.
Yeah, he's like 70 something. I could hear him. He was great though. And then I went to Iron Maiden, ooh, which was fun. And then the summer of like literally 2020, we were going to buy tickets for Motley Crue and ZZ Top and get to go to that. And then we could say like psychedelic rock. I saw Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets with my friend. And if you don't know, Nick Mason's the drummer of Pink Floyd. So that was really cool.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I've heard ZZ Top puts on the craziest shows because they're so old. They're like, we're just gonna stand still. Y'all are gonna vibe. And it's this, you know, and I'm glad that I have friends who are rock fans, especially for this episode in particular. This is Tom Talks. We should probably talk a little bit of Tom. We'll get a little bit into Tom. How familiar would you say you are with Tom Cruise's filmography?
I probably watched 5 to 6, two of which I probably won't even remember. But if you told me he was in, I'll be like, oh yeah, I saw it. I saw it.
That's a solid level. That's higher than, probably higher than 30% of my guests on the show, who some of them have to Google Tom Cruise while on the show just to figure out who we're talking about. What is your favorite Tom Cruise movie?
I'm only going to say this one because I just love the movie in general, even though he had a small part in it. But it's The Outsiders. I just love the coming of age, like old movies. So that one.
Oh yeah. That one is such a classic. Great cast too. It's hard to beat like having Patrick Swayze and Emilio Estevez in a cast together.
Yeah.
Just so, and Rob Lowe, what was Rob Lowe doing there? I don't know. The next two questions are more, well, one of them's abstract. What is the most Tom Cruise-y thing that you have ever done?
That's a good question. I know he does like a lot of like, you know, like action, but I feel like if I had to think of something, it's going to be that Risky Business scene, dancing, no one's home.
Oh yeah. That is a whole vibe.
Tom Cruise in a movie character thing I've done.
That is a solid pick. Dancing around the house. Always a classic. And then my last Tom Cruise question is less of a question. It's more of an opportunity. I give all of my guests 1 minute to say anything that you could ever want to say to Tom Cruise. When the show is done, I'm going to super cut all these minutes together, give a 45-minute message to Tom. And so this is your chance to ask him questions, tell him jokes, say whatever you want to say to him. Your minute starts now.
All right. Hello, Mr. Cruise. My question for you, maybe I have two actually. So, you know, aside, if you could explain a little bit about the Scientology, I'm a little lost. I'm a little curious. I feel like you get that a lot. You know, you do you, but I'm curious. And then my second one is, if you weren't an actor, what would you be doing? Because from what I know of you, that's, it seems like acting is just, that's it. That's your purpose. Yeah.
Solid, succinct. Those are excellent questions. Because as far as I can tell, he has no skill sets outside of acting and stunt work. He can hold his breath for 7 minutes, but there's not a ton of jobs in that.
Well, that's so like 7 minutes?
Yeah, I think. It might be 7 minutes, 40 seconds, if I'm remembering correctly. But like, his skill set's very limited.
He should be a surfer if he could hold his breath that long.
He very well might surf in his free time. He probably does every extreme sport, honestly. He should do him competitively, but...
Oh, okay. So then maybe his, like, if he wasn't an actor, he'd be doing, like, an extreme sport, blowing up on Instagram, you know?
Yeah, rock climbing or something. He's also, like, 60, so it's weird. Yeah. He's like, 58.
I mean... I didn't know that. I didn't think he was that old.
He's very old, and he's going to space next year. He's too old to do that.
I mean, just thinking about it in general, astronauts go through so much training just to get up there. Like, is he, how many years has he been, like, training for this?
That's a great question. There is no way to know. I'm assuming he's done, because he's able to prepare for a lot of things. He knows how to fly airplanes and helicopters, and he knows how to hold his breath. So I'm trying to think of what skill sets astronauts really need, and that's about it. Hold your breath, fly airplane, and probably some science too. But
yeah, hey, like knowledge on especially emergencies.
Yeah, you know, being able to manage yourself in a crisis. Yeah, Tom Cruise might have that. There's a chance. I am a little worried for his safety. I don't think they should be sending 60-year-old people up to the space station.
I mean, this is why there's CGI, for the exact purpose why.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. He's doing a CGI moon movie in the same year. We don't know why he's doing both.
Oh, wow. That's just so funny.
Two separate projects. Well, we're going to go into a quick commercial break. After the commercial break, we are going to play a game, so stay tuned after this.
This is Tom Skerritt for the Borgen Project. Each year, nearly 2 million children die from preventable diseases. Each day, 30,000 people die from hunger. 500 each hour are children. The Borgen Project is turning this around. We need your help. To learn more, go to borgenproject.org. That's B-O-R-G-E-N project.org.
Biking in Chicago is more than just a mode of transportation. It's a lifestyle. It's convenient, affordable, and with 13,000 bike racks, parking is never a problem. But with every reward comes a sidecar of risk. In Chicago, over 1,700 cyclists a year are killed or injured in bike accidents involving motor vehicles. Bike safety is simple. First, become familiar with Chicago bike laws. Know your hand signals and when to use them. Love your brain. Get a bike helmet that fits your noggin and deck it out with a headlamp and some reflective gear for riding at night. Bike at least 3 to 4 feet away from parked cars to avoid being struck by a car door being open. Motorists can do their part too by checking their side view mirrors for bike traffic before exiting their vehicle. Most importantly, remember that we're sharing the road. Looking out for both ourselves and each other is the only way to keep Chicago's roads safe, no matter what your wheels look like. For more information on bike safety in Chicago, visit www.chicagobikes.org. This public service announcement was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd, and this is Tom Talks. I am here with Julia, and we are going to play a game called Humdinger. It is based off of the Humdinger minigame from Cranium, where we will get a song, one of us will get a song, and then we will have to try to get the other person to guess what song it is by only humming, whistling. Not allowed to sing though. You can make weird noises. You can go do 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 do, but it doesn't, can't sing. No words. So yeah, all of the songs that we will be selecting from, we have a list that's a 2-hour playlist long of songs from Rock of Ages, the movie musical. So there's a big range, everything from Guns N' Roses to Pat Benatar to Steve Perry's on there too. Got some interesting ones. So Def Leppard, of course, because Rock of Ages.
And that movie was unnecessarily long, but I understand it was because they wanted to put in the music in it.
Yeah. So
let it slide.
100%, 100% too long. And I mean, the play that it's based, or the musical it's based on, is also exceedingly long. I saw it for my 16th birthday. It was ridiculous. It was really weird. It was a weird production.
Wait, what's the play?
It's Rock of Ages. So it's just a stage musical that they turn into a movie musical. And the stage musical is a lot raunchier.
I didn't know it was a whole thing. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. There are like high schools doing it now, and I'm like, that's not not okay with this movie or musical or play or whatever. Yeah, and how we will be randomizing it, just hit shuffle. And then whatever song comes up, make sure your volume is down so I don't hear the lyrics. And then, yeah, we can get started. Julia, why don't you take us away? Pick a random song, hum it. I'll see if I can guess it.
All right. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be so out of tune. Okay. All right.
Oh. Is that Paradise City? Guns N' Roses? I got it from the high-pitched ones. Oh, I forgot to mention, we'll do a 1-minute timer. So if it is impossible to tell, we have 1 minute of continuous humming until we stop. Okay. Okay. I got that one though.
Low hum. I can only do high. So
it works. You do what you got to do. Let's hope I get one that I, cause there's like three of these that I don't know. So if I don't know it, I'm just going to skip it. Of course, I got one of the three that I don't know. Okay. Okay. Got mine. Here we go.
All right. Hit me with your best shot.
Oh yeah. You got it right away. Yeah.
This is funny.
This is great podcast content. It's just solely audio. All right. I suppose we're tied 1-1, but I don't really know if we get a point for getting the other person to guess or if we get a point for guessing. I don't know. We're doing great. Your turn. Take us away with the next song.
All right. Okay.
I think I know it, but I'm curious where you go from there. It's Wanted Dead or Alive, right?
Yeah. I did the like, Wanted. You actually want to know how I, the first time I heard that song, that I actually, like, I remember hearing it for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure it was in a Scooby-Doo scene. And Fred was, like, on a horse in a knight-like suit, and the song was playing. And I was like, wait a minute, I know that song.
I, you know, I have a vague memory of that. I think I've seen the same Scooby-Doo special or like that's that. What a great place to hear that song, though. I can't think of a better context. I'm trying to remember which ones we have and haven't done. I know we're only okay. Here we go. Fourth song.
Rock you like a hurricane, scorpions.
Oh yeah, I didn't even do the singing part. I just did the opening intro. That's an old Guitar Hero song. That's why I know that one. Did you ever play Guitar Hero 3?
I never owned it, but I played Guitar Hero, and I thought it was super fun. I sucked at it. Once it gets to like the high levels, because it's just I can't.
Yeah. I was terrible. I was so bad. But Rock You Like a Hurricane was one of my like go-to songs because it's just like right off the bat, it's just 1, 2, 3, and it's yeah, an so easy rhythm.
So fun.
Oh yeah, iconic. All right, let's go to your song number 5.
All right.
It's one of the ones where it's a dude singing about desserts, and it's not Pour Some Sugar on Me, so it's cherry pie.
Yeah.
Though I don't think Pour Some Sugar on Me is singing about desserts, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Neither is this one really, but
yeah. I'm gonna choose to believe that these songs are all about very mundane things, you know? Cherry pie, he's just craving dessert. Pour some sugar on me. Yeah, he's baking a cake.
Nothing in depth. It's surface just level.
Yeah, no, it's a sheet cake. It's fine. It's bundt cakes. That's what it is. Okay. This is a good one. I like this. Oh wait, how does it go? Wait a sec.
Yeah, I got the words. Why is the title not coming to me? Here I go again on my own, Whitesnake.
yeah. I was like, does he say the? I think he has to say the words. None of these titles are more than surface level. Okay. That was number 6. We'll go. 4 songs each. So this will be your last song. We'll go for it.
Okay.
Oh,
I
know the song. I don't know the artist. It's I Want to Know What Love Is. Is it Foreigner?
Yeah.
That is Foreigner. I always mix up Foreigner songs.
That was very high.
We gotta go there. We should do these like Beaker from the Muppets. Have you seen those Beaker covers online?
I sound like at least.
I'll do this next one's very high pitched. Is this classic? I guess this is rock. I don't know. This is definitely,
there's subgenres. Just throw it in there.
Subgenre. It's in the movie. It's in the Rock of Ages movie, so it must be rock. Here we go. I'll do Meeps like Beaker.
I know this.
I don't know what more.
Hum it, because I'm having a total brain fart. That is not coming to me.
I think the you've got about 15 seconds left. I'll keep going. I'll do not the chorus. Okay, it's We Built This City by Starship.
Oh my gosh. I was just thinking about that when I was just scrolling through your post when you sent it, and I was like, Starship.
So weird. Starship is so weird. That's why, like, are they technically rock? I don't know. They're like synth pop mixed with some rock. I don't know.
We built this city.
We built this city of rock. You have to go in the high register.
Yeah. I actually remember them singing that in the movie, and I was like, ooh, I mean, I guess.
It was a little weird. I don't know. Some of the song choices were funky for the movie. Because they picked this, they found out what songs they could get the rights to, and then they wrote the story, which is why the story's a little contrived and a little weird.
That's what I figured. Like who was able to, you know, the rights. I was surprised they sang Paradise City in the beginning, right?
I think so. I think that's one of the first ones. That's why they named one of the characters Sherry Christian. So that they could have Sherry in it and they could have Sister Christian by Night Ranger. Because they got the rights to both of those songs. They're like, we'll just name the character this.
We'll just pick both.
Yeah, no, they're singing to Sister Christian.
When I heard that one in there, I was like, oh God.
That's a wild. That one's got great piano though. Honestly, the piano intro from Night Ranger's Sister Christian. I have not decided which of these songs to play this episode. I play at least one song every episode of Tom Talks. And I might play three this time. Which three would you recommend to viewers at home that I play from this list?
You know what? I got to tell you, because when I you're missing one.
What am I missing?
Because I watched it a while ago, and this is like literally one of my favorite songs. You're missing No One Like You by the Scorpions.
Oh, okay. I looked at the list today, but I for sure probably missed one. So I'll put No One Like You. If you had to pick two more, I think I've got plenty of time to put three songs in this episode.
Okay. You should pick one.
Oh, you know what? I've been talking so much about it. Maybe I'll do Sister Christian by Night Ranger, just because it's so weird, but maybe worth it.
You should do, if you have any for other podcasts, Paradise City, because Guns N' Roses is like my favorite rock band.
I will do it. Right after this is actually the song break. So we'll be playing No One Like You by Scorpion, Sister Christian by Night Ranger, and Paradise City after this. And then after that, we'll go into Fast Facts, Fun Facts, Data Breakdown, and all that jazz. So stay tuned after this. Welcome back. You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd, and this is Tom Talks. You just heard Paradise City by Guns N' Roses, a phenomenal song featured in the not-so-hit movie Rock of Ages, a very contentious film on the Tom Cruise list, one that actually started my journey here. I started my journey with Tom Talks defending Rock of Ages. And, you know, I will still defend it, no matter how weird of a movie it is, no matter how convoluted and unpleasant the plot line may be, it is not his worst movie, and I can say that for certain. I'm one of the only people who can say that for certain. So, take that, haters. I'm going to go into a bit of a synopsis, followed by fast facts, fun facts, and a data breakdown. Let's start with the synopsis. In 1987 Los Angeles, Sherry Christian arrives from Oklahoma with dreams of becoming a singer. Barback Drew Boley prepares for another night at the Bourbon Room. They sing Sister Christian, Just Like Paradise, and Nothing But a Good Time. Sherry's suitcase is stolen, and Drew gets her a job as a waitress at the Bourbon Room. The club's owner, Dennis Dupree, and his right-hand man, Lonnie Barrett, are desperate to save the club from a tax debt. They book Stacy Jacks, a detached and self-indulgent rock star, preparing for his final gig with his band, Arsenal. Drew tells Sherry of his dreams of becoming a rock star, but that he has stage fright, and they sing Jukebox Hero and Love Rock and Roll. Learning of Stacy's upcoming concert, Patricia Whitmore, conservative wife of Mayor Mike Whitmore, organizes a protest in front of the club, and they sing Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Drew and Sherry have their first date at the Hollywood sign, where Drew reveals that he is writing a song for Sherry. Waiting for a Girl Like You is the song he sings. On the night of Arsenal's final show, Dennis learns that the opening act has canceled. Sherry convinces him to use Drew's band, Wolfgang Von Kalt, and they play More Than Words and Heaven. Stacy's manager, Paul Gill, schedules an interview with Constance Sack, a reporter for Rolling Stone. Constance mentions rumors of Stacy's difficult behavior and implies that he was kicked out of Arsenal, which Stacy denies, and he sings Wanted Dead or Alive. Stacy sends Sherry for a bottle of scotch from his limo. Constance lashes out at the once great Stacy. They recognize their mutual attraction and are about to have sex when Stacy sings, I Want to Know What Love Is. Ashamed, Constance leaves as Sherry enters and collides with Stacy. Drew mistakenly believes that Sherry and Stacy had sex and is angrily inspired to sing I Want to Rock for the opening act. Drew and Sherry break up and she quits the bourbon room. Paul, impressed with his performance, offers Drew a record deal as Arsenal sings their last song of the night, which is Pour Some Sugar on Me. Sherry takes refuge at a strip club, the Venus Club, and sings Harden My Heart, where owner Justice Charlier offers her a job as a dancer and sings Shadows of the Night and Harden My Heart. But Sherry chooses to wait tables. She realizes she needs more money as Drew signs to Gil's record label and sings Here I Go Again. Dennis worries that the bourbon room will close and that he has let everyone down. Lonnie confesses his love for him and Dennis reciprocates. They sing Can't Fight This Feeling. Drew realizes that his record deal makes him a part of a hip-hop boy band called the Z Guys as Joshy Z, while Sherry decides to become a dancer at the Venus Club. They sing Any Way You Want It. Sherry visits the Hollywood sign where she finds Drew, whose life has also not gone as planned. She tells him that she did not have sex with Stacy Jacks and she will be returning to Oklahoma. They part ways, lamenting their situation, and they sing Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Stacy realizes his feelings for Constance and calls Rolling Stone to learn that she is covering his show at the Bourbon Room. Stacy rushes to the venue where Lonnie leads the patrons against Patricia's protest group. We're not going to take it. We built this city. Excellent mashup. Stacy recognizes Patricia, whom Lonnie exposes as a former Arsenal groupie. Drew buys back Sherry's stolen records and drops them off at a strip club. The Z Guys are rejected by the crowd. Drew spots Sherry in the audience and leaves the stage. They reconcile, and Drew fires Paul. Sherry reunites Wolfgang von Kult on stage, where she and Drew perform the song he wrote for her, which is, of course, Don't Stop Believin'. Stacy, having sex with Constance in the bathroom, is moved by the song. 8 months later, Stacy has rejoined Arsenal and performs the song with Drew and Sherry, now part of Wolfgang von Kult, at Dodger Stadium in front of a crowd including Dennis, Lonnie, Justice, a pregnant Constance, and especially Patricia, who has returned to her rock and roll persona. Now, this is campy. This is a goofy, campy movie with lots of, fun, sexy times is the only way to describe it. There's a band called the Z Guys and Wolfgang von Kult. A bunch of weird stuff happens in this movie. They failed to mention a bunch of random things in this synopsis, like the fact that Stacy Jacks owns a monkey, the fact that the mayor is having an affair with his secretary, which is part of the reason his wife is unhappy and is protesting so many things, is because she's mad that he's not an attentive husband. There's a bunch of little things like that that I think really add to the story that this synopsis kind of glossed over. And anytime I mentioned a song, that is, of course, when they sang it, because this is a musical. This is Tom Cruise's first and only musical, and he spent a long time learning how to sing for it, and it's fine. You know, Tom Cruise is not a singer by trade, so don't expect this to be phenomenal, but he's singing, you know, hard rock stuff, so it's not like opera or anything. It's not super, you know, difficult singing to do, but he does a pretty good job, honestly, better than Tom Cruise would be expected to do. And he plays Stacy Jacks, I should say. He doesn't play the young up-and-coming rock star, the kind of role he used to play. No, he played the old aging rock star, the one whose band is leaving him, but he's still kind of an icon. And his role is very similar to that of his role in Magnolia, where he's just kind of womanizing and terrible and wears a lot of leather. So he's a little uncomfortable, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that. But, you know, on the whole, I really like this movie. Let's go into some fast facts. It's directed by Adam Shankman, who's primarily done, you know, sequels, musicals, that kind of stuff. He directed Hairspray, The Pacifier, What Men Want, that kind of stuff. It's written by Justin Theroux, who's primarily an actor, but he also helped write Tropic Thunder and Iron Man 2 and Zoolander 2. So also in the sequels game, mostly. It's also written by Chris D'Arienzo, who wrote the musical, the stage play version of this, who hasn't written much else. And then Alan Loeb, who wrote Collateral Beauty and The Space Between Us. The cast, Sherry Christian is played by Julianne Hough, who I think we talked about last week briefly, who's in the Footloose movie, but she's also in Dirty Grandpa and Burlesque. Phenomenal musical actress. She's done a few of the NBC live broadcast musicals. Like I think she was Sandy in Grease Live. Excellent musical actress. Drew Bailey is played by Diego Boneta, who is in Terminator Dark Fate and the Luis Miguel TV series and Scream Queens. So he's young, he's up and coming. Hasn't quite hit his full stride yet, but he did have a leading role in a movie that featured a phenomenal cast. The rest of this cast, probably about 90-95% of the people I'm going to tell you here are all top tier A-list actors. So Lonnie, who works at the club, is played by Russell Brand, who you might know from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Despicable Me. His stand-up career is phenomenal. Great actor. Dennis Dupree is Alec Baldwin, you know, from The Departed, Glengarry Glen Ross, Boss Baby. Mike Whitmore is played by Bryan Cranston, Breaking Bad, Malcolm in the Middle, the incredible Ivan, that Oscar-nominated movie on Disney Plus. That's not very good, but it has Bryan Cranston in it, so that's a plus. Patricia Whitmore, Bryan Cranston's wife, is played by Catherine Zeta-Jones from, Chicago and Traffic and The Mask of Zorro. So excellent casting there. Paul Gill is played by Paul Giamatti, and I could not name a single actor better prepared to play a sleazy record producer. So Paul Giamatti, A+, 10 out of 10. You might know him from Thunderpants or Cinderella Man, or literally anytime anyone needs to cast John Adams in anything, Paul Giamatti is the top of their list. Mitch Miley is played by Will Forte, only in it for a little bit, but I love Will Forte, MacGruber, Nebraska, etc. Justice, the owner of the strip club, is played by Mary J. Blige from Sherlock Gnomes and Umbrella Academy, and also a phenomenal singer. So had to get some good singers in the cast, especially when you have Alec Baldwin and Paul Giamatti, who aren't really singers. You have to get strong singers like Mary J. Blige to carry their weight. And then Constance is played by Malin Ackerman. Pretty unknown actress, but still a good break for her. She was in Watchmen and 27 Dresses as well. Some fun facts, Alec Baldwin hates this movie. Alec Baldwin disowned this movie. He claims that he only did it to work with Tom Cruise. And then they worked together again on a later Mission Impossible. But, I don't agree with Alec Baldwin. I don't think this is a terrible movie. And I really liked Alec Baldwin in this movie. I think he brought a lot to the character that in the live version isn't necessarily there. And seeing a romance between Alec Baldwin and Russell Brand is something that I didn't know that we needed, but definitely something that is a big plus of this movie. When they were filming Pour Some Sugar on Me, Tom Cruise singing Pour Some Sugar on Me, Def Leppard came and watched. So the whole band of Def Leppard came and saw Tom Cruise sing Pour Some Sugar on Me. And that is so funny to me that they would want to see that in person. Cause like, I'm assuming every artist whose song was in this movie went and saw the movie, but like you get to see Tom Cruise sing your song in person. That is a weird bucket list type deal for a band. One last fun fact. There's a very interesting list of people who were considered for various roles in the movie. That list of people includes Seth Rogen, Will Ferrell, Taylor Swift, Anne Hathaway, and Amy Adams. So if you can imagine Taylor Swift in Julianne Hough's role, that's wild to me. Taylor Swift can't dance. Julianne Hough is a phenomenal dancer, but having Taylor Swift there, yes, she's a singer, and she'd bring a lot to the role vocally, but got to get a dancer in that sort of role. I have seen the live stage play version of this, and it is excellent. Highly recommend. I'll go into some data breakdown real quick. As you know, I rate all these movies on enjoyment, engagement, quality, iconography, and the Tom Cruise factor. This one, honestly, it's about par. It's right on par, pretty much. So yeah, a 15 enjoyment, 14 engagement, 10 quality, 8 iconography, and a 12 on the Tom Cruise factor. Tom Cruise, you know, he's womanizing in this one, so that ups his ante. He has a pet monkey, and in the vein of him doing his own stunts, he learns how to sing, and he grows his hair out long, and I love it when he grows his hair out long. So yeah, a total Metascore of 59. My average is about a 62 on these. So it's right about par. I still will highly recommend it to anyone who likes movie musicals. Not a lot of people do, but I highly recommend it to anyone who does. And that's about all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in next week for my Jack Reacher episode. And as always, stay gold, Pony Boy.